Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129. Welcome back to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.
And we're back. I'm Ashley McKinless, an associate editor at America, and I'm here with Father Matt Malone. And today we're talking with Greg Erlandson, the newly appointed director and editor-in-chief of Catholic News Service. We invite you to join the conversation at 1-888-3-CATHOLIC. That's 1-888-322-8465. So, Greg, before the break, we were taking a view from the diocesan level, but you also have international experience. You were one of the 6 international Catholic media experts to meet with Vatican officials in 2014 to look at how the Vatican's communication strategy could be reformed. So what did those meetings teach you about the state of church communications and maybe some lessons for the U.S. church?
Well, it was a great experience and a surprising opportunity. I certainly never expected to be on that. They had about 6 of us who were quote unquote international experts, and our charge was really to look at all the vast array of Vatican media efforts, which are truly impressive, but also were very siloed, and come up with recommendations in which ways that they could, you know, collaborate more effectively together, perhaps have a more strongly embrace a lot of the new digital opportunities, and then also the issue that always arises, which is were there ways to save money or to control expenses, and so we talked with all the various efforts over a series of meetings. We went around and did field trips, and or we had people come in and make presentations to us, and then we came up with a series of recommendations that we offered to the Council of Cardinals and the Holy Father, and which were eventually accepted in around I think March of 2015. The gist of the recommendations and where I think there's something that can really be built on here in the United States is that, as I like to say, the Vatican doubled down on its media efforts. So what they did was by uniting them and then raising its status so that instead of the Pontifical Council for Social Communications, which was a council, it became a Secretariat for Communications. And what they're trying to do is to bring all the different efforts. So you have Vatican Radio, L'Osservatore Romano, you have the press office, you have Vatican Television, you have the printing press operation, you have the book publishing operation, and I'm sure I'm forgetting something, the internet office, and you bring them all together. So ideally that over at least a period of time, the bureaucracy will be, in a sense, reformed so that you can have a more unified effort and a sharing of resources going out, spreading the news of the Holy Father and providing the information that they provide. And I hope and I think that there are lessons here for the United States is that instead of simply cutting back, I mean, they didn't, Cardinal Pell didn't say, okay, I just want to, 15% cut across the board and that's how we're going to save some money. They really were looking at, okay, how can we make this more effective? And I would like to think that this is an opportunity here in this country, which is really the media capital of the world, that the church can see that this is really an opportunity to invest, a way to reach more people using the various formats that are available to us. And it can be an evangelizing tool. It can be an informing tool. It can be an educative tool. All these things, I think, can be seen as resources, especially if they're acknowledged as such throughout the operation, throughout the church's efforts. So I think another hobby horse I have is adult faith formation, in which everyone gives lip service to, and almost nobody seriously and consistently funds. The only real example of that really is the Catholic press. I mean, that's where adult faith formation, either through periodicals or through books or through the other efforts, often happening without any sort of, you know, explicit church ownership of it. That's where it's taking place right now. So if, you know, this is an area that I'd argue we need to invest more in, is yeah. bottom line.
You know, I thought that this work that you and your colleagues did was so crucially important because of the way in which people are paying attention to this papacy at this time.
Yes.
You know, and what's interesting to me is that this first century institution, the See of Peter, has an ability to communicate to the world in a way that few other institutions do in the 21st century, right? Because our attention is so diffused across multiple platforms, multiple news sources. We have multiple interests. But here is one of the few figures in the world that can convene the attention of the world, right?
Yes.
So it's interesting that this first century institution is in this kind of ironic way ideally suited to a 21st century media environment. So thinking these things through becomes crucially important.
And we're the original global institution.
Yeah.
So we're saying this about Pope Francis now, but I remember when we were saying that about Pope John Paul II and how the impact that he had on the conversation in his time. I mean, the papacy is uniquely positioned to do that, and I have to believe that, you know, these are Holy Spirit moments when you have someone like Pope Francis coming on the scene right now at this time of this horrific refugee crisis, for example, and the divisions that we're seeing everywhere, to have his presence there. So how do we give voice to that? And I also think obviously Pope Francis isn't going to be with us forever. But this is a really great moment. There's such a high level of interest. And here we are, 3 years after his election. I'm still people coming up. I have people who are not Catholic coming up and saying, I really like your guy. I really like your Pope. That's a phenomenal opportunity for us. I don't know if we're seizing the opportunity as well as we should.
Well, what do we need to do to seize it better?
Well, I mean, part goes back to how are we promoting and spreading the word, and how are we using our media? And I think we're trying to do lots of things on the cheap right now. I think that investing in the resources, now this isn't an overnight solution, unfortunately, but investing in the resources, investing in the staff, investing in intelligent investment in the technology, this is the area that I think needs to become not just seen as a burden, but is really part of our is a part of our overall strategy. We have to become more media sophisticated. I think from the bishops' conference to major dioceses, New York or Chicago or elsewhere. I think there is very much sort of a media sophistication, but we have to get our voice out there. This is what the church is talking about. And so that's amplifying into the secular world. And then just as important, maybe even more important, is how do we get to Catholics themselves? How do we support Catholics so that Catholics in the parishes, they're being encouraged? You've got to be reading Catholic media. You've got to be going to Catholic websites. You've got to be getting this information, because that is ultimately where, the votes are. And it's the people that have to be most touched. I think the immigration issue is a prime example of that. Is we the bishops are, remarkably unified on one level, but I suspect that when you start looking at the polling, it gets a lot more fragmented down there in the trenches.
And speaking of Pope Francis and his really revolutionizing the way people see the church, at least in this time, I think a lot of that gets trickled down to people through the secular press, and it's often said he has a new way of communicating, is the papal press conference, where one thing he says gets taken and
right.
made into a headline. That seems like a place where the Catholic press should be the one delivering this news, and often it's not. So how do we fulfill our role as interpreters of Pope Francis and the bishops?
I think we're fulfilling the role. I think, America Magazine, I think Catholic News Service, I think they're fulfilling that role as just how do you amplify your voice. So, for example, what we're doing right now, which is America Magazine now has a radio show. You know, we're extending into other areas. I think that's one way to do that. I think there's an Marist poll that was done in 2015 before the Pope's visit, which showed that at least active Catholics were much more likely to rely on Catholic media for information about the Pope. Now, that's a sign of hope, because that if there needs to be a clarification, there needs an amplification on what the Pope has said, that will be there. Now, those are Catholics who are going to Mass weekly, which is not all Catholics, but I think that's very important data point, and we need to expand on that so that it's not simply the latest catchy headline that someone comes up with often, which doesn't even reflect the story itself.
Right. And I think it's also very important that that we talk as much about the opportunity that's presented to us by new media and a multi-platform approach as mm-hmm. much as the challenge, right? Because as I travel around the country, and Greg, you and I have talked about this before, people feel in the Catholic press are really trying to figure out all of this technology stuff and this yes. multi-platform approach, and I think that they see it and experience it as just as a profound challenge, sometimes bewildering, but it's also an incredible opportunity. I mean, when we think about it at America as an opportunity to talk about topics and address issues in ways that we've never been able to before. So we right. continue to have this great product in print, but we can talk about something, as you say, also on our radio show, and we can produce a short film about it, and we can have an event about it, and be really creative in coming in with an editorial strategy that takes advantage of these technologies.
That's right, and you're doing in a mini way what the Vatican, I think, is trying to do, and I think it's also something the Catholic News Service is trying to do, which is to realize that you don't develop just a video arm, which is distinct from your print arm, which is distinct from your radio arm, but that you can actually bring these together, and you have I know this is a terrible word, but you have a synergy there that really helps amplify that message. And the problem is we get so caught up in whatever the latest headline is that we have to be on the bleeding edge of technology somewhere. So if you take the whole cycle of the app and how quickly that everyone had to have an app to now, you just get sort of cynical chuckles from publishers when you talk about apps, but a lot of energy gets burned up in these areas, sometimes just trying to be out there on the cutting edge, whereas what we really need is we need a kind of a synthesizing strategy that brings these together.
Now, we have a couple of minutes left, Greg, and I wanted to ask you, at the top of the hour in the news summary, we heard about these remarks by Archbishop Chaput at the University of Notre Dame, basically saying something that a lot of Catholics say, which is we're homeless generally, and we're mm-hmm. homeless specifically in this election, homeless politically. What do you think the Catholic press can do to help Catholics make sense of this election?
Wow. this has really been an election like no other. That is hardly a unique observation. I think we're usually the Catholic press is being told by various lawyers, we can't get into endorsing candidates or developing checklists and all these kinds of things. And so whatever, wherever you want to put that, I mean, we're always somewhat restrained anyway. And I think the way the Catholic media tends to do it is they try to focus on what the critical issues are, whether it's religious freedom, whether it's healthcare, whether it's immigration, war and peace, all of that. I hope we're having some success there. I hope people are reading that. I think what we really need is more promotion from the pulpit and the diocese. And again, kind of a unified effort is, here's what the issues are in this case in particular, or in this election cycle in particular, because it's striking how little the media coverage is actually focusing on the issues, and how much of it is it's kind of like Entertainment Tonight in this weird sort of way, where we're just getting whatever the latest outrageous comment was, or you know, the latest health scare crisis or something. And it's, you know, you wouldn't necessarily know that how much is at stake here in this election in terms of the issues that are out there in the world that are not going to go away. So I don't know if that answers adequately. Unfortunately, I think this is a really frustrating time, and we just have to keep going back to, I mean, we are strangers in a strange land, and I think maybe one of the things that's happening now is that for so long Catholics tried to mainstream themselves and fit in with everybody else. And I think if you're deep in your faith and you're looking here, you realize we are strangers in a strange land. We are meant to be homeless right now, and we most certainly are.
Mm-hmm. Great place to end on. The Power of the Word, the Enduring Value of Catholic Media, is the title of the article in the October 3rd, 2016 issue of America. Greg Erlandson, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Father Matt and Ashley. I enjoyed being with you.
All right. Best of luck with your work. When we come back, we'll be joined by Gary Jansen, the author of The 15-Minute Prayer Solution. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.